Janie Lee Grace. Welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio. Hi and welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show. I'm Janie Lee Grace and it's a hugely busy time. We've got the Platinum Awards happening over this period. Looking forward to giving a few amazing natural and organic brands an accolade to show that we've the judges like their products. Really looking forward to it. We have a pop-up shop that's happening till the end of September at Hello Love, which is in Bloomsbury in London. You're very welcome to pop by anytime other than Wednesday 14th of September, which is our private event. And just go in and have a look at some of the bits and bobs in there, some of the examples of products that have been entered into the Platinum Awards. Quite nice to be able to actually sample things. We can't often do that. And obviously a lot of brands sell online, but it's a great opportunity. And also to support the work of Hello Love, which is just the most fantastic space. It's a vegan juice bar and there's an art studio. They have some wonderful, interesting, unique, innovative products in there. And they offer... they have their charity, the Hello Beautiful Foundation, which offers classes and all kinds of support for people with cancer. So, you know, it's a great charity to be part of. So if you can pop by, if you're in London, then, you know, drop in and have a look at some of the stuff that's in the awards. And, you know, it'll be lovely to if you can let us know if you've been able to pop by Hello Love, maybe grab a picture with Jane and Kevin who run the shop, and we can post that on social media. So thank you to everyone who's voted in our awards. We really appreciate it. And a huge thank you to UK Health Radio, who have been part of it, our media partners, always, you know, very, very supportive of what we do at the Platinum Awards. So I'm really grateful for that. And this week's guest, well, it's really interesting. It's so very timely because I'd been planning for a while to have a conversation with Enid Taylor, who I've known for a long time. Enid's a naturopath. I'm sure I've interviewed her before on various different topics. But I've long been thinking I really need an in-depth conversation with Enid about the work that she does, which is very unusual, as you're about to discover. But just as I was getting ready to kind of, you know, get this interview completed, just last week in the mainstream news, there was so much in the press about FMT. You're going to find out all about it, about the NHS, who are now going to be offering this service in some hospitals. It's still very much a well-kept secret, but nevertheless, there it was splashed all across the mainstream news. So I thought, wow, we really are on trend. So you will get to hear in depth what it's all about rather than just seeing a few headlines. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy the interview. I am delighted to be able to chat to a dear friend, Enid Taylor, who is a naturopath and a clinic director. Enid, lovely to see you. Lovely to chat to you.
Hello, Janie. Thank you very much for inviting me on. It's always a pleasure to have a good old chat with
you. Well, I think it's been a while since we've done a gut health chat. And, you know, it's always feels very relevant. And, you know, in lots of the work that I do, I'll chat to someone about their sobriety level or about stuff that's going on, or it might even just be about anxiety. And then somehow, somewhere in the conversation, we end up getting into a little conversation about, oh, how's your digestive health? and almost always, if they've been drinking or if there's a lot of anxiety or stress, you know, then there usually is that correlation. So, you know, I'm sure we'll come to that. But before we get into a sort of chat generally about gut health, just share with us what you do, because it's absolutely groundbreaking. And for anyone who's not aware of the work that you do, you know, there'll be lots of eye popping and what did she actually just say that?
So let's
get it out in the open. Okay. And by the way, you know, anyone listening to this, Enid has heard all of the jokes. I mean, every single one. Trust me, I've tried new ones. She doesn't bat an eye. She's heard them all. So
yeah, we've heard all the poo jokes.
So just tell us a bit about the Taymount Clinic.
Well, for the last 11 or 12 years, we've been really pushing the boundaries of medicine. We've been in a pioneering space known as FMT. That stands for fecal microbiota transplant. When we started, we called it bacteriotherapy, which I think was much nicer. And I'd rather they called it gut flora restoration, which tells it like it is. But because we are using microbes, bacteria, yeast, and all those little invisible things that make up gut flora, comes from feces, so it's called fecal. But we're not transplanting feces or whole stool. We literally do an extraction process. So it's a gut flora extract that we harvest from very healthy people who go through an incredible battery of screening tests every month and every 3 months. And then we harvest this material and we save it for 3 months in very, very low freezer temperatures, minus 80. And we kind of hang on to it as a quarantine to make sure the people we kind of harvest it from haven't got some latent slow to show disease like hepatitis or even HIV, because you can spend 3 months sort of incubating that. So we have a very sort of careful process of testing and quarantining. And then people come to the clinic with a variety of different problems, from simple sort of IBS to some of the more complex IBDs. We cannot claim to cure anything because we haven't run extensive clinical trials, but they are ongoing all around the world right now. But Clostridium difficile, the sort of hospital-acquired diarrhea disease, that is recognized as being one of the things that we can use FMT for. And we have 100% success with that particular condition.
Wow.
A
So,
book. Sorry, can I go
yeah,
ahead?
no, I was just going to say, so it's important to stress, that of course it's always difficult making medical claims, but this is a fully clinical process. This is not, your back street, go have someone else's poop. Let's just make that really clear that this is all fully done properly.
Yeah, I think in the early days there was a tendency for people to abuse this and think that any old poop would do. But of course, as I explained, we have a very elaborate production facility that literally does an extraction. And we have spent the last 5 or 6 years working with MHRA to become totally compliant with all their regulations. In fact, we persuaded them to become interested in this and regulate just to safeguard everybody.
Yeah, because I think it's been used in hospitals to a small extent for quite a long time, but not in the same way that you're able to offer the treatment.
It was almost like a hidden gem. I mean, there are papers going back to some sort of like 1950s, and we stumbled upon it, as I said, about 12 years ago. And we were talking to Professor Barodi in Sydney, who had been quietly doing it for some 20 years by then. And he was doing it in conjunction with his colonoscopies for people who had parasitic infections or any other condition that he thought would benefit from this. So he was quietly being the sort of the godfather of FMT. And he was very generous to us with his mentorship and his advice. And we literally were the first clinic of its type in the Northern Hemisphere. So we did talk to MHRA and they said, I quote, ick factor. We don't really call it
Yeah,
ick factor,
quite.
it's a weird therapy. And then they realized after another 5 years that, hold on, this is actually making people well. And there are no serious side effects. They don't hurt people. It's making them well and it's not doing any harm. Right, then it's a medicine. We'll have that.
Yeah,
Once
absolutely.
they decided they owned it, then we had to jump to their tune, which it has been a lot of hard work, but it does make it safe.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and of course, the theory then, to put it very simply, is that you're taking the good bacteria, the microbes or whatever from a very healthy person, and inserting that into the gut of someone who perhaps has some health issues, and it takes on the new bacteria, as it were. That's it, put bluntly, I suppose. And obviously that is going to be way more powerful than just trying to consume a few probiotic capsules.
Yeah, probiotic capsules do some good while they float through, but they don't take up residence, they don't engraft. And I always use a little analogy. If you've just moved house and you've got into this new garden and it's a real mess, so you clear it all, you take it all, you rotivate the garden, you actually clear the whole thing. And then if you sit back and wait for the perfect lawn and the perfect flower beds to appear, you're going to be in for a nasty shock. You're going to get brambles and nettles and weeds, the fastest growing, most opportunistic, most bossy plants will move in, and they're not necessarily the ones you want. Now, the same happens in your gut. If you do lots of colonic irrigation and clean it all out and sit back and wait, you're going to get dysbiosis, which is an imbalance. You're going to get the fastest growing, most opportunistic, species taking up the whole residence again. So what we do, to use the analogy a bit further, we lay a nice new turf and we sprinkle flower seeds in the flower beds and send the person home with the beginnings of a healthy garden. So without that, you wouldn't spontaneously develop a healthy, balanced microbiome, no matter how much yogurt you eat. Because species just don't exist in our food. We spend the first 2 years of our lives on the floor putting everything in our mouths, and that's where we begin to get the basis of our microbiome, plus the gift from our mother during birth.
Yeah.
So of course, if you're a C-section delivery, you miss out on that. And if you have lots of antibiotics as a child, which, I mean, I think I did as well, you actually damage that burgeoning microbiome.
And, well, there's been lots of things, hasn't there, that over the last however many years have meant that people's gut flora is not what it was. As you say, C-section births, you know, of course, they're life-saving in many cases, but they're not great for delivering the gut flora. As you say, a whole raft of things, antibiotics, even stress, not getting all the good nutrients, even from the soil that we may well perhaps once have got. And as you say, that sort of peck of dirt theory, which I read somewhere that babies who were sort of born at the beginning of lockdown, a lot of those babies don't have a healthy gut because they haven't done the crawling around the cafe thing that we all did with our kids.
And of course, we were terrified into sterilizing every surface in our environment. We couldn't pick up children unless we sterilized our hands. And you can imagine that the Dettol sort of floor wash was used everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
And those children, and of course, they didn't mix very much for the first 2 years of their life. So they were particularly disadvantaged.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, trying to sort of sterilize everything has a lot to answer for, doesn't it? For people who are thinking, well, you know, I mean, I certainly don't need that. I'm well, I'm fine, but I would like to maintain my good gut health. What are the basics? I mean, I'm guessing you absolutely share these with the people that have had the FMT treatment. Cause as you say, once you've got your healthy garden planted, you've got to maintain it, right? You've got to look after it. And most of us don't really. I think, you know, what tends to happen is we literally forget all about it until such a time as it gives us an issue. And then we shove in some medication or, if we're lucky, some probiotics. But, you know, what can we all do that really makes a difference?
Well, I think just to sort of start from the beginning of what you were saying, sometimes people can believe themselves to be really healthy.
Yeah, true.
Our bodies are really not working in their own interest. They are so forgiving and so adaptable. A body will carry on trying to make the best of things, and you can feel that you're functioning perfectly well and perfectly healthily. A good example of this is your poor liver, particularly important when people are talking about the effects of alcohol. Your liver will continue to work until it's down to 10% of its function. You won't get symptoms of liver disease for a long, long time.
And yeah, that is scary, isn't it, actually? Yeah, people have been drinking a lot, get really stressed about that because they really don't know. I mean, the liver is fabulous, as we know, at repairing, as long as we don't leave it too late, as it were.
Yeah, well, I think too late would be, you know, very noticeable. You'd have very yellow eyes and you'd have serious sort of jaundice symptoms. But my point is that you can bumble along thinking you're healthy, and then when something threatens you, you realize that you're actually on the last dregs of your body's ability to keep you upright.
Yeah.
And I hurt when I hear genuinely sincere people saying, well, I eat a healthy diet. And then when you stop and talk to them, they're making some really big errors for the best of reasons, because they're being misled by healthy eating nonsense.
Yeah.
And you go to most hotels now and you'll still get low fat yogurts. Why?
Yeah.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltz know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, God forbid you want to be in hospital.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's not get started on hospital food, right?
I was
right?
in there every day taking food in for my daughter when she was in. It was just a nightmare what she was being offered. Mm. Absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
So, yes, let's not go there. But, yes, the garden analogy is quite useful. But the reason we have nutritionists delivering the FMT treatment in the clinic, the treatment itself is really simple to learn how to deliver. It's a very small pediatric catheter that's inserted with a retention enema. So it takes about 2 minutes. It's really simple. But the more complex part is how to talk to people about how to maintain this new microbiome, yeah. how to adapt your lifestyle, how to make this treatment work. It's how you treat it afterwards, how you eat. And I like to keep things really simple. I don't give diet sheets. I don't give any kind of diet plan. I just give people a grid of 50 empty squares. And I say every day, try and write down the ingredients of what you're eating. So, okay, you've got toast and marmalade for breakfast. That's wheat, yeast, butter, sugar, and oranges. Then you have a cheese sandwich for lunch. Well, you've done the wheat, the yeast and the butter already. So, okay, cheese. So now you've got 6 squares. And then at dinner time, you might have pasta. Oh, okay, that's wheat. We've done that already. Tomatoes. Okay, got tomatoes. So you can see that as you go through the week, what you think of in terms of lots of different foods and different recipes is actually the same basic few ingredients.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went to Burger King. The other burger outlets.
Others are available.
And I noticed that the entire menu will come down to something like 17 or 18 different ingredients. Mm. So if you had a different meal at one of these outlets every day, even a pudding, you're still only having 17 to 19 different foods.
Yeah. I love this analogy. I mean, you've shared it with me before, and I do think it's just so workable because the important thing, obviously, what you're trying to say is that we need variety in our diet. Yes, we need good nutrients, but it's not as simple as saying, just never have bread. It's not as simple as that. We need a whole range of nutrients, and 50 different foods every week is going to be covering a lot. Of course it is. The good thing about this, and I know when you first shared it with me, because when you first shared this with me, I thought, oh my God, I'll never be able to do that. But then of course you realize that you can include herbs and spices. So if you've got, if you make a curry and you have, like several different herbs and spices within it and a few different vegetables, well, you're rocking it. In fact, didn't we once have a meal at your house that had all 50?
I was going for it, wasn't I? Maybe do a superfood salad and a curry and maybe a smoothie or something to go with it with several different things. You can build a meal on trying to shoot for 50. Yeah. But the thing is that gives you each of the microbes in your gut will eat a different type of food. Yeah. Some wait for the offcuts from the ones above. It's a cascade. So some will wait until they get the leavings from the other species around them. So there is a cascade going on, which is why if you take antibiotics and wipe out one particular layer, you may end up starving many, many other species. And that's why the damage happens.
Yeah, absolutely. So on that note then, if you are someone who's taken lots of antibiotics, or if indeed you have to take them, what would be a good way of sort of mopping up? Is there, would you recommend a course of something like Simprove or another probiotic that would sort of just help for a while?
Well, yeah, I think the best of the bunch is Simprove. That's the only one we have in the clinic.
Simprove is a liquid bacterial drink, by the way. I'll put the notes in the show notes. Yeah.
It's live bacteria. Simprove is the one that I really would. It comes closest to the beneficial effects of what we do. So if you can't afford what we do or it's not suitable for you, Simprove is the next best thing.
Yeah.
So I would certainly recommend that. I mean, the genius thing would be if you're going into hospital for some kind of operation that's planned rather than emergency, and you know you're likely to be given antibiotics, you could store your own fecal material and literally get someone to help you put that back when you finish the antibiotics.
Now you're starting to even poop me out. Come on, that's not going to happen.
Autologous gut flora restoration. I know, that is that's a whole other thing. But we've got a wellness model for people who don't actually have a physical condition that they're trying to sort out. The wellness model is between 1 and 3 colonics to literally wash out all the legacy stored material. And then between 1 and 3 FMT, depending on your state. Mm. So that wellness model is much more accessible and it's much cheaper.
Yeah.
The standard treatment for somebody who's coming to us with a tricky condition or a chronic condition is 10 treatments over 10 days.
Mm.
So that's a longer commitment. Yeah. But the wellness model, 3 days in the clinic, and that's really useful.
So, yeah. I think it's worth stressing that, you know, people who've been drinking for a long time, I mean, alcohol is terrible for the gut. Let's just put that out there, right?
And of course, the gut, people say, you know, the gut's your second brain. It's not, it's actually your first brain. The gut forms in embryo before your thinking part. You know, you have a breathing stem and a thinking stem, a nerve stem and a gut stem before you have a thinking part. So everything that affects the gut is going to affect every part of you, not just, you know, your physical self, but your mental self and your emotional self and your hormonal self. So yeah. When you start over drinking alcohol, you can damage every part of your body subtly and long term.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I think it's that can sometimes come as a little bit of a shock to people, you know, have been drinking a long time, that they've remained in inverted commas well, you know, they're mm-hmm. They're lucky. They're functioning. But I don't know that they necessarily recognize the extent to which some of the damage has been done, you know, the inflammation of the gut and God knows what else.
Yeah. What continues to absolutely delight me is if you can inspire somebody to change some of their habits and start a healthier lifestyle, they are so surprised at how good feeling well feels.
Yeah.
And then they realize how awful they felt before without realizing that that became their norm.
Well, it's absolutely. And then absolutely.
You into a better true. Place and they go, God, I never realized how good feeling well can feel. And
exactly.
I feel so well, I feel dangerous. Yeah. And that's exciting to watch.
Yeah,
I think we've seen a lot of that in the sober club. A lot of people just don't expect how blooming brilliant they feel afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. Because the changes are subtle, but they're absolutely profound. It's really true. So I'm guessing you're the donors that provide the poop for you. I'm guessing they don't drink.
Do you know what? Some of them do. And what we say to them is, if you're going to drink, please drink on a Friday and Saturday. And then have Sunday off. And if you have had a party or something on a Sunday, just give us a heads up and have a couple of days off donating.
Mm.
Now, most of our donors are professional, caring people. We have a whole load of firemen, and it's really quite nice when they come into the clinic.
I mean, bring their samples.
They are statuesque. they are beautifully put together. They're very fit and they're lovely people. I mean, they would run into a burning building for you. So, you know, their heart's in the right place and they're fiercely competitive amongst them. So who's going to be the fittest? Who's got the best responses? Who's got the best musculature? So when we start blood testing them, which we do every 3 months, and stool tests every month, they start comparing notes. So they want to be the best, the most fit, the most healthy. It's a fantastic mindset.
Have you actually noticed any, I know you don't give specific dietary advice. And as you say, it's really about this variety. Mm. But have you noticed that any particular kind of diet produces the healthiest, person, the healthiest gut bacteria, or is that not possible to deduce?
I'm really not supposed to say this, but the vegetarians and the vegans, you know, there's good vegan and bad vegan.
Of course.
But the good vegans, the ones who are really quite sort of foodies, they are the most prolific because they're eating such a lot of vegetable material. And that's that the resistant starch fibers is where you feed the bacteria. That's where they really proliferate.
Mm-hmm.
So they're
mm-hmm.
going to be eating lots of greens and lots mm-hmm. of cabbage and lots of fruits and seeds and nuts. And that's where health lies. Now, obviously, you can be a vegan and eat chips. So we don't just say, are you vegetarian, vegan or carnivore? We need to know what their habits are. So
yeah.
I don't like labels very much. But the food, I would say the foodies, if that could be a term we can use.
Yeah, absolutely.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
And of course, they're so competitive. If one is much more productive than another, they're going, well, what did you eat last week? What did you eat? So, there is actually a little bonus if they're very productive. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're fiercely competitive, which is lovely.
Brilliant. So, for anyone then who is just kind of perhaps maybe even in the early stages of stopping drinking, has never even considered gut health before. Mm-hmm. Your top tips then are, let's get this grid filled of the 50 different foods.
Yeah.
Anything else that's important to note?
It's on Amazon. I think if you just Google 50 foods grid, but I'm not sure if they actually send you the card as well. But if you want to get in touch with the clinic, taymount.com. Just drop us an email and say you want the 50 foods grid. I think it's on our little shop on the website.
But mm-hmm. Okay, I'll put the link there. And then if anyone is, you know, concerned about their, their, you know, their gut health, their health profile, how can they get in touch for a consultation?
Well, you can just book yourself in for a consultation. Obviously, it's for screening for sort of FMT. But if you just wanted to have a chat and see if, you know, if there's things that we can point you towards. I don't like to recommend stool tests because the results you get are just a snapshot.
Actually, that was going to be one of my questions for people who are thinking, oh, do I need this? How would I know how well my gut health is, as it were? There isn't really a definitive diagnostic test then.
There are lots and lots of tests around and they're big money. They're really big business at the moment, but they don't tell us anything useful. For example, if you had a rhubarb crumble and some spinach, you're going to have masses of oxalobacter, which is a bacteria that likes oxalic acid forming foods.
Mm.
And that's going to be like, if you had that yesterday, you're going to have loads today. And if tomorrow you eat a camembert with all the white rind on or some brie, you're going to have a massive amount of geotrichum, which is a yeast that loves that rind. So, you know, it's so transitory. And if the dog licks your face today, tomorrow you're going to have bacteria in your system that the dog's picked up from the cow pat that he licked before he licked you.
Right. That's really interesting.
Go through within 24 hours sometimes.
Right.
So
a lot of the tests that you can, because I've seen some of the tests you can buy online, as you say, they're quite expensive and they do require a little tiny stool sample.
Yep.
But what you're saying is that really is just a snapshot of what was going on right then.
Yep,
not necessarily the profile of your health picture. Whereas what you do is different because obviously the samples that you're using are collected over a period of time.
Yeah, I mean, the donor samples are collected over the month. So it's representative of their health generally. And when you're testing, I mean, it gives us a really, really big headache. People will come to us saying, I've got this test and I'm obviously missing these. Can I have a donor that's got loads of those? And you think, well, the donor might have had loads of those last week, but this week he hasn't got so many. And that's how you were missing those 2 weeks ago, but you may have more of them now. So we have to kind of unpick the reason for having the test before we can go any further.
Yeah.
So testing is a bit of a nightmare to us.
Yeah.
We just prefer the buckshot method because it's a numbers game. With probiotics, it's a numbers game. The more you've got, the more species, the more quantity, the bigger army you've got, the more likely you are to win that battle.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's how you should see it. And it's clinical presentation that matters, not what's in the test.
Yeah, okay.
Because people think that there's like good and bad bacteria. And so if I've got lots of good, I'm going to be healthy. If I've got lots of bad, I'm not. There is really no such thing as good and bad. A healthy gut is not one that's devoid of anything pathogenic. A healthy gut is one where there's practically every species you can imagine, but they're all in a nice balance.
Mm.
So if you look for something, you'll find it. But what you'll be looking at is how the person's presenting. Are they healthy? Are they functioning? Is everything working properly? And yes, they might have some what we call pathogenic bacteria in there, but hopefully they've got lots more commensal.
Yeah.
And let's face it, if you've got good bacteria, in inverted commas, and you get a leak in your colon, and those so-called good bacteria are then in your abdominal cavity, you're in big trouble. They're not so good when they're not in the right place.
Mm.
So and, it's,
Just another question I should have asked earlier when we were talking about the foods. Again, I know you're not giving specific dietary advice, but are there foods that you think are beneficial for gut bacteria? So, for example, you know, we hear of sauerkraut, don't we? And kefir and kimchi and do they really make a difference, or is it scratching the surface really?
All of those foods will help to maintain a healthy balance. They're great maintenance foods. But if you've got a problem caused by, as I said, antibacteria overuse or some other issue, you've got a stomach upset or some kind of food poisoning bug that never left you, you need something a little bit more heavy-handed.
Mm.
So if you consider all those fermented foods as great health-promoting maintenance foods, fantastic to eat afterwards, but then you may need that balance sort of put back by hordes of the right stuff in the right balance.
Yeah, absolutely.
And of course, it's a bit of a dirty trick, really, MyGrid, because you and I both know that the greatest number of different foods are going to be found in vegetables and fruits. So without saying have 9 a day, have 10 a day, have however many, without even saying that, you're kind of just gently opening the door for people to look for variety.
Yes,
and they're going to find variety in the vegetable aisle and the fruit aisle.
Yeah, of
and
course.
If you give people rules, they're going to feel restricted, then they're going to go off the diet.
Yeah.
You just give them a grid and say, just keep putting things in. If somebody turns up on your doorstep with a bottle of something and a box of chocolates, you just put down what's the ingredients of those things and carry on.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I've blown my diet, blow it, you know, I'm off it. You're just recording everything you eat and trying to expand your diversity.
Yeah, it's about what you're adding in always, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely. Okay, brilliant. Well, it's innovative, it's mind-blowing, it's amazing. I mean, obviously, I've known about it for a long time because obviously I know you well, but I still find that, you must find all the time, that there are still a lot of people in the medical profession who are not aware of it. And you know, so consequently, it is still a little bit of a well-kept secret, this work. But, you know, you'll find the flag. We should say, by the way, your clinic is in Hertfordshire.
Yeah, it's in Hertfordshire, Leicester. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So anyways, we'll put the links in the show notes. It's tamount.com. That's right, isn't it?
Yes.
Tamount.com. And I know you offer a consultation, and I'm looking forward to some of the other stuff that you're going to be doing in the future, Ina, because I know you've got some other lots of exciting things that you're going to be doing as part of your work with the clinic and as a sober coach as well.
Yeah, and of course, things like the sort of the emotional, hormonal self, family constellation therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, we haven't even touched on that. Yeah, as you say, the link, you know, the gut's the first brain, effectively. And, you know, much of this is linked to our emotional state. That's another whole topic for another time.
Let's kind of put a bookmark against hormones, and the whole menopause thing is so... it being so misrepresented, really. Menopause can be so easily handled without resorting to extra chemicals. I'm quite passionate about that, really. So we could have a discussion about that some other time if you like.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, as a naturopath, you're bound to have that view, right? You're bound to look at the holistic picture.
There's a kind of natural thing going on there, isn't there?
Well, there is. I think it's really, but I think it's really important to look at that, the holistic picture for everything. You know, that doesn't mean that we're not going to want to also, you know, there may be some need for medication. There may be some need for you know, clinical practices of one of which is the way you work, the stuff that you do. But to actually start from that, the basis of the holistic picture, I think is really key. And I know that, you know, with your clinic, you work with functional medicine doctors as well, wherever possible, because, it's just great to look at that, at the everything, isn't it, really?
It's about finding out what's gone wrong, what's causing the problem, what's perpetuating a condition.
Yeah.
And see if we can redress the deficiency or remove the toxicity.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And get back on the road to looking after their own health, because we are a miracle of evolution. We came through, I mean, how many millions of years have we been evolving? But the way we're eating and living now is just crazy. Mm,
it is. And I think, you know, because there could be somebody completely new to this kind of approach, not just new to the concept of FMT, which is quite mind blowing, but completely new to all of this. And for those people, you know, I just kind of remind everyone that there are still a tremendous number of people who, you know, I think about someone like my mum who would, you know, report that she's got, you know, tummy troubles and constipation or something, and then is given laxatives, you know, by a GP, and then she'll get something else. So it might be then turn into some kind of what feels like irritable bowel syndrome. Yes. So then she'll be given a drug to sort out the irritable bowel syndrome where she was given laxatives in the first place. It all goes on and on and on. Nobody ever asks her what other medication she's taking, which is huge, or whether she's drinking any water. And at one point, I remember thinking, I saw her for a little while, actually, you're not drinking any water. What is going on here? You've got maybe a glass of squash or something. What the hell? And there isn't enough joined up thinking. There really is not enough.
There isn't, because the doctors are actually trained in parts of the body rather than holes. The whole, you know, your gastro guy won't even think about your hormones or your mental health. Yeah. But it starts right at the top. As you get through life, as you get older, your stomach acid levels drop. And when the acid level is low, the sphincter at the bottom of your gullet gets a little slack. So what little acid you've got in your stomach will start to pop up and you get acid reflux.
Yeah.
So people say, oh, I've got acid reflux. They're given something to stop
the antacids or whatever the hell.
Meprazole, PPIs, and that stops what little acid you've got there from digesting your food. So undigested food starts to creep down the system, which causes more sort of different fermentation and putrefaction rather than digestion. And then that causes more problems. So it's just like a chain reaction. And, you know, we start rolling our eyes and we look at the list of drugs that people are on.
Yeah.
And it's actually quite heart-stopping, because you need to go right back to the beginning. Why were you given this?
Yeah.
What you should have been given is something to boost your hydrochloric acid in your stomach. And their eyes kind of roll. You think, you don't understand how your body works at all.
Yeah. Well, most of us don't, do we? If this is the stuff that should be taught in schools, right? You know, kids should all be given their grids to have their 50 different foods, because kids love it. You know, they love the fun of it, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, if you go and buy an exotic pet, you're given details on how to feed it.
Oh, absolutely.
You're the most exotic pet on the planet. I know. Excellent. I'm exhausted. How about you?
Well, Enid, as always, it's fabulous talking shit with you. and you know, yet again, you've heard them all, so I won't trot out anymore. I've tried lots in the past, but, you know, fall on deaf ears, because you've been there, done it with every single poo joke there is.
Well, when we get a new member of staff, we say, right, you've got 2 weeks to get them out of your system. If you haven't heard, you get a bonus.
if you get a new one, it'd be excellent. Yeah, we'll offer a prize. Excellent. I really appreciate it, Enid. Thank you so much. It's you know, it's just great to chat to you. So knowledgeable about this subject, and it's so important for all of us to focus on gut health. So thank you. I really appreciate it. And we'll talk soon. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jenny. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Enid. So check out the Tamount Clinic and the work that they do. And if you have any further questions, then Enid would be very happy to answer them. It's obviously a very in-depth topic, right? But as I said before, it's so interesting that the mainstream press is now covering it. I mean, it's been around for such a long time, as Enid will tell you, but it's not, you know, it's still a bit of a well-kept secret. So great that we're able to cover it on this show. I'm looking forward to the next few shows that I have coming up. I've got some fantastic guests for you. If you have any suggestions for people that you'd like me to interview, always happy to hear from you. You can always message me, find me easily on social media at Janie Lee Grace, and let me know who you think would make a great guest for the Natural Health and Sobriety Show. As you've probably gathered, I'm interested in all aspects of natural health. Obviously, my particular interest, I want to look at things that are holistic and underpinned by positive sobriety. That feels very, very important to me. It didn't many years ago. I did all the natural health stuff and thought I could, do all of that with a bottle of wine every couple of days. Doesn't quite work out that way for many of us. So that's why I love including that positive sobriety piece, which fits really well with the sober club that I run, my community for people who are drinking more than they want to. We're not talking about at rock bottom. We're talking about people who are grey area drinkers, you know, somewhere on that spectrum. So if you haven't already, check out the work that I do at The Sober Club. It's just thesoberclub.com. I look forward to seeing you next time. You've been listening to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio.